Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, it has been a ball. I mean, I can't believe the success of this podcast. People from all over the world is listening to what is going on in the city of Benton Harbor. On yesterday, we had people from the UK. We had people from Finland, Denmark. We had people from all over the world want to know what is going on in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan. It was a great show. We had Dr. Tucker on there from Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri. And we got a chance to do some things, but one of the things that has happened that really have pierced my heart is that, you know, people understand what is going on here in the city of Benton Harbor. The crowd itself has really picked up a little bit. I'm hoping to go over the million listeners mark sometime this year. I'm hoping to say that we have 1 million people listening to the Pinckney Show. And hey, a lot of this happened last year with the Sambo of the Year Award. That was such a huge event. You know, we had probably more than could not believe the amount of people who took the time out and voted. You know, even though our mayor, the one and only, won the Sambo of the Year Award for the second straight year, he received almost 11,000 votes. 11,000 people voted for him. Wow. Then he was followed by Ron Singleton, the one who stole the radio show, the radio, the whole station from the community. And also, he also got over 10,000. He got close to, I think, 10,500. I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but he got 10,000. And most of that, they understood who he was, you see. And I think this is the most important thing on my show that we do. We bring to light some of the stuff that most people don't want to talk about. But any time that you hurt my people, you hurt me, you see. And I'm willing to fight for my people. So this guy, Ron Singleton, who is a commissioner also, what he did, Charles Kelly, it was this radio station. He died, and his wife, Charles Kelly was black, and his wife was white. And what they did, they bullied her. She was coming in from Detroit. They bullied her, and every time they would have a meeting, it would be a hostile situation. And she just got tired of it. She said, well, hey, you know. Well, you know, at least the radio station continued to go. So this guy, he bullied his way and took the radio station from the people, and then he used it as a cash cow for himself. You see, he has a long history of when he was a former police officer, so he know how to bully people. And by her being white, she was the only one white that was on the board, and he dissolved the board and made up a new board for himself so he could be the one who's in charge. He got some group out of Muskegon to work with him to help him steal the radio station. And that's unfortunate. But this guy have a history. When he was a police officer, him and the chief of police had a scheme going to steal money out of the pension. And the chief of police got caught, but he didn't name him as being part of the person that was involved. So Walker, they let him sign a consent form saying that he'll pay the money back. And once he signed that consent form, once he did that, he moved out, he resigned his position, and left the city. You see, now that way that Ron was in the clear. And somehow, when he retired, Ron Singleton, he was like a lieutenant. Or no, he was like a corporal, a private or something on the police force. Then he ended up getting lieutenant pay. That's what he's getting now for the last 10 years, lieutenant pay. And they know he wasn't a lieutenant when he retired, but yet nobody is saying nothing. So he's been stealing money from the city of Benton Harbor for the last 10 years. That's unfortunate. Then we have the seats. Also, commissioner walk around here with bloody hands. His hands is full of blood. If you shake his hand, blood gonna drip on his hand. Then we have his mother. I'm just glad that she's not my mother. Or I'm just glad that she's not, because she's just a terrible situation. But anyway, let me get to the point is, the point was the sample of the year really, really went off on a bang. More than 60,000 people voted. Well, there was more than 60,000 votes, let's put it that way, which was so huge. I mean, it just blew my mind. I didn't anticipate that. But then again, you know, anytime you're fighting for the people, you better be ready. You better be ready, because it's not just one thing, it's everything, you see. And that's unfortunate, you know. And as we know and always talk about this, you know, the system itself, you see, we as black people, we don't have enough people stand up fighting this system, you see. Usually they buy them out, you know. But we're looking for people who are humanitarians, motivated not by money. You know, if you're motivated by money, they're going to get you and you're going to lose every time, you know. And let me, you know, while I'm on this subject before I bring in my first guest, it's hard to believe that in the year 2023 that we have a county in Michigan with a legal system this antiquated and racist. It's racist. What is even harder is that no one on national level is taking action to remedy the situation. You see, the system works extremely well for white folks. In other words, it's like bleach. Bleach works perfectly well for white, but it stores color. That's right. And we got to get better. You know, we got to figure out a way how are we going to start taking care of our women and children. That's the foundation. We have to figure out a way how we're going to take care of our women and children. There's nothing more important than our women and children, no matter what. No matter what anybody else say, you see, because when you teach a man, you are teaching an individual. When you teach a woman, you're teaching a nation. And that's why it's so, so important that we take care of our women and children. You know, it took us over 450 years to get where we at today. And we're nowhere. We're nowhere. You know, everything is ran by them. You go to the courthouse, it's ran by them. You have a white judge, a white prosecutor, a white defense attorney. You have a white cop sitting down there, and you're the only black person there if you're a defendant. That's the history. That's we're in Benton Harbor have a 9-member elected officials. We have one mayor and 8 commissioners. unfortunately, we only have two commissioners that support the community. We have seven people who vote against the interests of black folks and get away with it. And it's all right because that's your cousin. That's your aunt, you know. It's all right because of that, which makes no sense to nobody. A lot of things we do just don't make any sense. And we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And getting the same identical result and think it's okay. It's not okay. We have to change the way we do business. If we don't change the way we do business, if you don't think about yourself, think about your children. You see, even the educational system, they started destroying the educational system here in the city of Benton Harbor 35 years ago. That's when it actually started. That I can identify. It may have started sooner than that. But I can identify 35 years ago when all this, when this really started. You know, they started taking programs out. Critical thinking. Now, every school has this thing they call critical thinking, or teach you how to think critically. They no longer do that. They don't have a wood and plaster shop. They don't have an electrician shop. They don't have none of these shops that would enhance our children. Because everybody is not college material. Everybody don't want to go to college. But there, if you know, you could make a living as an electrician, a plumber, a carpenter, a bricklayer. You could make a living and a good living doing this. They got that big thing working on these highways. You never see black folks working on, well, we don't here, I can say that, here in this area. From, let's say, from Kalamazoo back down to Indiana on 94, you'll never see black people working. You won't even, most times you don't even see one. But we don't complain. How come? And some of these jobs pay $40, $50 an hour. Driving that big thing, all you're doing is driving it. But we don't train for jobs like that. You know, what we do, we train our children, some of them, not all parents, I'm not going to say everybody, to be dope dealers, and they think that's a big deal, taking a chance of going to jail. And I tell you, I've been to jail. There's no picnic in the park, you know. But you got to have, if you're in jail, you got to have resources. If you don't have resources and you're in jail, it's going to be, whatever amount of time you got to spend, it's going to be long and hard. So that's important. But I want to get back to talking about our women and children. Regardless what's happening today, we must take care of our women and children. There's nothing in this world more important. You know, and, you know, some of the kids, you know, nowadays are kind of bad in their own way, but we have to nurture them, you know. And I said this yesterday at my church. There was over 200 kids at my church. And I try to tell the people in the community something like that happened to call me. It just so happened I looked on the camera and saw all these children in an area that I didn't want them in. So I drive down there and have a conversation with them. I didn't go down there hollering and screaming, get off my property. I said, no, let's have a conversation. That's what I told them. I pulled them over there, all over there. I said, crowd around. Let's talk. I said, we need to have a conversation. I said, listen, I don't mind you guys being on this property, but I don't want you here. I want you back there. If you stay back there, you won't have a problem with me. But if you cross this line, you're going to have a problem with me. And the young boy said, well, yeah, you know, we appreciate that. You know, and we thought you, you know, you came on, you'd be hollering. I said, no, I don't do business like that. I said, what I do, I try to put you in a position so you can improve yourself. And what I'm going to do, if you guys do everything that needs to be done, I'm going to put up a basketball court. But I will not allow you. The first time there's a fight, I'm locking it up. The first time. And I said, I don't want to hear nobody fighting on this property. Nobody. For any reason. If there's a situation, you call me. Let me handle it. And, you know, they was so respectful. I just had to say, I said, well, I'm going to work on this. If you want to be on this property, you can be in this location, all of y'all. I don't care how many. Long as y'all not messing with the building, messing with nobody, y'all good to go. And they respected that. I never, you know, the kids, you know, y'all think kids are rowdy, want to do something, but they were so respectable. And I appreciate that. Like I told you, we're going to work on getting y'all a little basketball court. But here is another thing I want to talk about. When you speak of Barron County, you know, when it comes to infant mortality, you see, stuff on that level, you know, we probably have one of the highest rates there were. I challenged the CEO, president, whatever you want to call him, and we was getting things done. But then they brought in black folks. See, every time that black folks trying to do something, they always got an ace in the hole, another black person to bring in to stop anything that's good that's happened. Oh, believe me, they say it's a boot in the hole. That's what they call them, the white folk call them. I got a boot in the hole, you know, to stop you. Just like they have been trying to stop me for years and have been unsuccessful. But they'll come up with something. You know, that's how it is. They will come up with something, and that's their history. They will come up with something because they will do anything in their power to stop black people. Take a good look at them. We're not being successful. If I'm successful and my neighbor's not, that's no success story. You know, that's not a success story. It might be his fault, but let's pull him up too, you see. But we have to make sure that our women and children are taken care of. That's the foundation. You see, when you talk about foundation, that is our foundation. You see, and that's how they weaken us. They want to take the man out the house. And they have been successful. See, one thing a woman can't do, she can't raise no young man to be a man. You know, she can give him a start, but she can't do it. You know, because there are certain qualities that a man has that a woman don't. And then she has to, that teaching of that young man is so crucial. And let me say this also. A man can't raise his daughter because there are certain qualities that a woman has when it comes to her daughter that a man do not have. You see, so that's why you need the man and the woman to raise a child. And sometimes we have to put our differences apart and say, well, I know sometimes some of these women could be characters. I know some of these guys can be characters, you see. But the most important thing is the child. Remember that. And on that note, I'm going to bring in my first guest, and she's going to explain exactly what she does and how she can help this community. Because I'm more of a believe in building a foundation and making it strong. Ms. Moore, So tell us about you.
I am a black doula. I celebrate the power and strength of black families during pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. I'm your community correspondent, Janelle Moore, founder of Sacred Blackstone Doula Services. I am dedicated to advancing reproductive justice and black patients everywhere. My motto is empowering black families one birth at a time. We believe that every black birthing person deserves to have a knowledgeable and compassionate support system during one of the most transformative experiences of their lives. As a black doula, we understand that unique challenges that black birthing persons face during the medical system, and we're here to provide culturally responsive care that centers to your needs and desires. Doulas are trained non-medical professionals who provide physical, emotional, and informational support to expectant mothers and their families during pregnancy, childbirth, and postpartum period, at home and in the hospital. Doulas are a part of the medical team. The specific services provided by doulas can vary depending on the needs and preferences on the individual client. In Benton Harbor, Michigan, black doulas have emerged as a response to an issue of infant and paternal mortality. The doulas provide culturally competent support to expectant mothers and their families, recognizing the unique challenges faced by black women in accessing quality care. Black doulas work to address the racial disparities in healthcare outcomes by advocating for the needs of black women and their families. Infant mortality is a pressing issue in the United States. Black women and infants are dying 2 to 3 times more than any other race, that is at a rate that is significantly higher than any other developed country. In particularly, populations of disproportionately affected by this issue is Benton Harbor, Michigan. this community is really, really struggling with high rates of infant and maternal mortality. 7.4 of their 1,000 live births leaves 135 dead black babies. According to the Center of Disease Control, every pregnancy-related death is tragic, especially because more than 80% of the pregnancy-related deaths in the U.S. are preventable. Recognizing that urgent maternal warning, providing timely treatment, and delivering respectful quality care can prevent many pregnancy-related deaths. Rochelle Walensky, April 28, 2021, MD, Director of Center for Disease Control and Prevention, declared racism a serious public health threat. The issue of infant mortality is a significant concern in many communities in the United States, especially among minority populations. Infant mortality, defined by Center for Disease Control, is the death of an infant before his or her first birthday. According to the Center for Disease Control, maternal mortality is the death of a woman during pregnancy, at delivery, or after delivery. It is a tragedy for her family and for society as a whole. The trend is far worse for black mothers and has doubled the average, within 70 deaths per 100,000 births. Benton Harbor, Michigan is such a community that is affected by high rates of infant paternity and mortality. Benton Harbor Health Center is currently working with doulas as a response to this issue, providing services to their families. The Pushette IMOTEP Baby Initiative Pilot program is to decrease maternal and infant mortality in African American communities. Common Sense Childbirth Training Institute is thrilled to announce that they'll be hosting a two fully funded doula training program, thanks to funding provided by Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Michigan Department of Human Services so generously provided funding for this doula program to help create workforce of doulas throughout Michigan who are interested in doula services to Medicaid-eligible families. Participants who complete the training will receive $480 stipend and walk away with the skills necessary to serve families in their communities. The evidence that suggests doula support can lead evidence suggests that doula support can lead to improved birth experiences. Studies have shown that women who have doula present during childbirth are less likely to have interventions such as cesarean sections, forceps, or vacuum-assisted deliveries and epidurals. They are also likely to have positive birth experiences. Reduce pain. Doulas can provide non-medical pain relief techniques such as massage, breathing exercises, and position changes. These techniques can help women manage their pain during labor and delivery. Lower rates of postpartum depression. According to the CDC, 70% of women suffer from postpartum depressions, and doulas can help. New mothers adjust to the new role and provide support during the postpartum period at home and in the hospital. Doulas can assist with household chores, meal prep. Studies have shown that women who have doula present during childbirth are less likely to experience postpartum depression. Improve breastfeeding success. Doulas can provide information and support breastfeeding and new mothers overcome any, help mothers overcome any challenges they may face. Better communication with healthcare providers. Doulas are team players and work within multi-disciplines with the medical field. Doulas can facilitate communication between mother, her partner, and the healthcare providers, ensuring the mother's wishes are respected and her questions are answered. Having a doula can provide valuable support during child support and postpartum period, potentially lead to better outcomes for both baby and mother. Never, ever go to the hospital alone. In addition to better outcomes, the doula has also been linked to maternal satisfaction. A study of 420 women found that who received a doula support reported higher levels of satisfaction during their birth experience than those who did not receive such support. Doula support has also been associated with improved mental health outcomes. A study of 534 women were found that those who received doula support had lower rates of postpartum depression and anxiety than those who did not. In Benton Harbor, Michigan, Black doulas have emerged as a response to this issue of infant mortality. These doulas provide cultural competence support to the expected mothers and families, recognizing unique challenges faced by Black women in assessing quality health care. Black doulas also work to address racial disparities in health care outcomes by advocating for those needs of Black women and their families. Infant mortality is a significant concern in the United States, particularly among Black populations. Black doulas have emerged as a response to this issue, providing much, much care, support, guidance to many of the people in the community. And so I just wanted to bring that report to you and offer our services and let people know that we're out here. There's not many of us right now as Black doulas. This career choice is inundated with predominantly white, middle-aged white women, but Black women are coming to come and bring charge, to take charge of our own care and how we are being cared for in the hospital.
So I thank you. You know, I got a couple of questions.
Okay.
You know, that in fact, that they say that he had lived in Benton Harbor all his life and he never heard of a doula. He said, why have he not heard of a doula before?
The word doula is a Greek word, and it was really hasn't been popular in our community. In our community, in Black communities, we had big mamas. We had sisters from the churches that would come by and help birth our babies, and we had grandmothers. This was an intergenerational type of career choice. So doula was not a word that was really used in our community. So this is fairly a new word that is being used. We would use like birthing assistant or a midwife or a sister or a big mama. We had different names.
He says here, what do they call a woman dad? They call it infant mortality when the baby dies. What do they call it when the mother dies during pregnancy?
We call that maternal mortality. And that's, as I said, when the mother dies within.
Is there a telephone number that they can use to call and get in touch with you?
There is. We have the Benton Harbor Health Center, and we also have the Grand Rapids number. So do you want me to say it here? Or
can you post? Why don't you just say it? Give us those numbers.
Okay. The number here in Grand Rapids is 616-315-7105.
Okay.
And the Benton Harbor Health Center number is 269-926-8535. That's 269-926-8535.
Very, very good. Listen, I know you're a very, very busy person, and I appreciate all the information, but, you know, I think when it comes to my brothers and sisters, you know, you have to keep iterating this to them. You know, you need to just keep talking about a doula because that's how they learn. You know, that's the way I learn. Like you keep saying it, repeating it to them over and over again so it can get into my skull and get into my brain and get into my – and so I know what it is. But I got nothing but love and respect for you. I think it's a challenging job, but it's a job that, you know, a person who cares, who is a humanitarian, and really do something for this world. And I'm going to bring in Dr. Tan, and he don't have a lot of time. But I want him to make sure that he gets enough time in so he can talk about whatever his heart desire. And I'll get back with you in case someone else has some more questions. I'll key you in. But right now, let me key in the one and only Dr. Donald Tans. Donald Tans, talk to me, Doc.
Thank you, the Honorable Reverend Pinckney, for having Janelle Lon, the Sacred Black Doula. The Sacred Black Doula is a key part in the whole movement to save black babies, save black mamas, and save black lives. And it's good that she's, you know, making sure that the JJ Way model knows you know, what's going on now. The truth of the matter, historically, this has been a two-year project to bring the doulas to Benton Harbor. As many of you know, in Benton Harbor, I had to assist with high-risk pregnancies. So we had around 6 or 8 children that should not be here or alive today because God blessed me to work with Dr. Theodore Jones, the chair of OBGYN down at Wayne State University, Dr. Patricia Hale Barrels down at the head of the women's at center at Wayne State University, Detroit Medical Center. Working with them and being here locally, for mothers who could not deliver babies or were miscarriaging, was able to help them so that they would deliver healthy babies. Mothers who would have babies and lose them was able to stabilize them so they can have babies. Mothers who, you know, my specialty is diabetes, hypertension, asthma, peripheral arterial disease, and sexual function. So any of those blood pressure issues that I would address, and I stabilize those patients early on. And the thing about the doula, which is so important, is that it's basically coming out of Egypt, coming out of the African tradition. These were the ones who were the birthing women. These were the women that were called in to give birth. and, you know, calling the Greek word is a Greek word, but the whole learning how to deliver babies and have both the mother and the baby live, that's a very old Black African tradition. And we know that in 1879, Dr. R.W. Felkin, F-E-L-K-I-N, was sent from Europe to learn from the Banjo tribe how to have both the mother and the baby live from a caesarean section. Remember, a caesarean section comes from Caesar in terms of Rome. And they would just cut the mother's stomach open and pull out the baby when it was term, if there was a complication, to make sure that if there was a boy baby who would be the next Caesar, that he had the best chance of living. And, of course, you know, the mother died, because they didn't have the technology to do anything different. You know, they would, in order for them to have lived, they would have had to been earlier in the history of Egypt. Because the time when the Romans came in, they didn't have any respect for the African Egypt, like what they call Alexander Macedonia or the Greek. And when Alexander went in, he was trying to become Egyptian. You know, he gave up his Macedonian. He gave up his Macedonian nationality. That's what people have to remember, and became African. So he adopted the African culture. So again, that's not what they're telling you. That's not what you're paying attention to. He said the dam with Macedonia, shoot, I want to do this Egyptian thing. I want to do this Black thing. And I'm moving my capital from Macedonia. I'm moving it to Egypt, to North Africa, and I'm calling it Alexandria because these Black people got it going on. White people came later and actually burnt the university's library at Thebes and at Alexandria. So they didn't appreciate knowledge at that time. And so Alexander was not mummified, because the time that his people came, most of those scientists had fled up south and fled to the West Coast, you know, just like the astronomy professors, the Dogon, they had left, and, you know, we caught up to them now, you know, towards West Africa, and many have went in the Banjoro and different places. But staying with the Banjoro tribe and staying with the delivery, that we see that the birthing chair, we see that the ability to have surgical instruments, we document. We know that the Edwin Smith Papyrus, the Edwin Smith book, which was a tribute to Imhotep, the father of medicine. So when she was saying the pre-shed Imhotep, you know, baby initiative, we're talking about the mother and the father of medicine, that no one can deny that these are the people who stand out. Sir William Osler, the big powerhouse of medicine, says that it was Imhotep is the only physician that stands out of the midst of antiquity as being the doctor. He was so bad that he was called the god of medicine. His name was Imhotep, means he who comes in peace. Hotep means peace. Iim means to come. So him who comes in peace. And he was called Imhotep Mus by the Greeks, and then he was called Aesculapius by the Romans. And that's what you may hear in Aesculapian society talking about this Black man. But there were Black women there, like Pichet, who we know was the chief physician to the Pharaoh, and that she was also over the pharmacies, and that she the one who most likely was involved in the delivering of babies and her, you know, in that practice. She was not an OBGYN or woman doctor. She was a full doctor, period. They, you know, later on specializations came into Egypt. So this goes really far back into our history and our DNA and our genetics. And so that's why Homer says that the African is the most of long-lived people, because we practice good health. And I hope that you remind me that I'll address the issue of mental health, that we wind up losing that here in America. So the doula now is picked up by whites, increase the number of white babies surviving. The doula movement was an effort to increase the number of white babies surviving delivery. It had nothing to do with helping black people out. It was called a birth girth, in that the European woman has a problem with fertility. The European woman has a problem with taking babies to term. The European woman has a problem with giving birth to live babies. Now, the maternity deaths that we see, that comes from racist doctors who may not even know they're racist. They could be Indian, Pakistani, Hispanic, white, and white Europe, from Europe. The deaths of black women were because of the doctors that were treating them and not knowing that because they've been in America in the system, that subconsciously they hate black women. So that's why the black skin of the black woman is a public health threat. That's why the killing of black babies have been there long term, but we've never called it out as systemic racism, structural racism, and how they make sure that they want to cut off the time that you do resuscitation on a black baby to make sure it's 5 minutes or less, you know. But when they in Europe, the Europeans keep going until the baby, till the mother is stitched up with their C-section to see if they can get a result, because they know, and this is the racism of medicine. Medicine is one of the most racist fields in the United States. 99% of most doctors hate black doctors. 99% of most doctors hate black medical students. 99% of most doctors hate black patients. That's our reality, period, fact. And what you'll find out is that most of the blacks you're going to be meeting, black doctors, are intellectually stupid and culturally dumb. They're intellectually stupid and culturally dumb. They're intellectually stupid and culturally dumb because they cannot see racism. They cannot see injustice. They cannot see discrimination. So they're intellectually stupid and culturally dumb, because you'll never find them in the grassroots black community. The only time you'll find them in is in a later stage of their life, that someone will bring them in to put them in a black community, and they don't even know how to relate to the black community because everything that's around them is white. Like a young lady over there in diversity for Corwell, for Lakeland, has no black connection other than a black complexion, has no black connection other than a black complexion, has no black connection other than a black complexion, and therefore has no real love for black people, because white people is, by the data, by history, by examination, white people love black people who don't like black people. White people love black people who don't like, and you see that around. You see that in the media, that they'll put a black person there who does not identify with being black, who hates black, who says negative things about black. That's who white people love. When how you know you have a genuine white person, they don't have a problem with Reverend Pinckney. Reverend Pinckney is like black kryptonite. Reverend Pinckney was like a black cross to a vampire. So if they can tolerate a Reverend Pinckney, they can deal with a Reverend Pinckney, then you know that white is all right. And you have to look at that way. You have to have whites who don't have a problem with the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. You have to have whites who don't have a problem with Malcolm X. The only true good whites are some of the whites that Reverend Pinckney have interacted with, because they've been true blue. But the whites that who are nationally known, that I can tell you who are good people, are going to be Jane Elliott, Tim Weiss. Those are the whites that you can go to the bank on, because they're going to tell the truth. The other whites, this is the attack right now with these intellectually stupid and culturally dumb individuals that we're talking about. We're talking about the House Negroes who tricked us and deceived us. We're talking about the House Negroes who tricked us and deceived us. we're talking about the House Negroes who picked this in the season, because they want to use the word marginalized. They don't want to use minority anymore, because minority is a federal identification of who we are, of the African American, of the Native American, of the mainland Puerto Rican, of the Chicano. That's who they. So they don't want you to know anybody who's been oppressed by slavery, anybody whose land has been taken. They want to hide it underneath marginalized. So marginalization has nothing to do with the slave nation of the United States. The marginalization has nothing to do with the slave nation of the United States, and is spoken by racists. Marginalization is a racist term. Marginalization is a racist term. Anyone using the word marginalization is a racist. Anyone using the term marginalization is a racist, whether they be black or white, because it was black who were mentally damaged who supported slavery. There were blacks who supported slavery. There were blacks who supported slavery. There was blacks who were against the civil rights movement. There were blacks against the civil rights movement. There were blacks against the human rights movement. There were blacks, and those blacks are the ones who are the politicians of today. The blacks who hate blacks are the politicians of today. The blacks who hate blacks are the politicians of the day. The black intellectuals are the ones who do not love themselves, who hate themselves, and therefore they do everything to be white and not right. They do everything to, in their power to be white and not right, R-I-G-H-T, because if you're right, then you'll be focused in on the family. You'll be focused on the people. Our greatest strength is the black woman. Our greatest strength is the black woman. Our greatest strength is the black woman. Our greatest weakness is the black woman. Our greatest weakness is the black woman. Our greatest adversary has been the black woman. Our greatest adversary has been the black woman. Our greatest adversary has been the black woman, because she has been the one that's been mostly attacked mentally and culturally and socially. The black woman has been the most one who's been attacked mentally, socially, emotionally. She has been attacked mentally, culturally, socially by white media, white society. That's why she don't love her hair. That's why she don't love her skin. That's why she don't love her hips. That's why she don't love who she is. That's why she has been tricked into being anti-black family. The black woman has been tricked into being anti-black family. The black woman has been tricked to be an anti-black family. So if you want to find someone who's intellectually stupid and culturally dumb, look at a black woman who will promote a woman's agenda and not a family agenda. Look for a black woman who will promote a woman's agenda and not a family agenda. Look for a black woman who will promote a woman's agenda and not a family agenda. They attack the black woman to destroy the black family. The black family is still, the black family is still the husband, the wife, the children. The black family is still the husband, the wife, and the children. The black family is still the husband, wife, and children. And if a black woman isn't talking black family, then she's full of sugar, honey, iced tea. Then she's full of sugar, honey, iced tea. And she has been deceived, and she has been tricked. And she's trying to trick us, and she's trying to mislead us. So the black woman warrior, like this Miss Janelle that you have on the phone, the black woman warrior that you have earlier, who teaches us how to spend our money and control money and giving us bargaining power, those are black women who are for black people, for the black family, for the black community. That is the standard that we use in those who's who. And you have to have a track record in the sand of doing things for your people. So this is a natural thing and not a political thing. It's not a finance thing. When white people come in to finance you to go into a black community to help the black community, no, that's normally to mislead the community. Gentrification is taken away from the black nation. Gentrification is taken away from the black nation. That means you take away your black community, like the blacks sold out Harlem and gave it to whites, like the blacks sold out in New Hampshire, New Jersey, and gave it to whites. So Atlantic City used to be a black city. Harlem used to be a black city. That was taken away. They're trying to take away Detroit. They're trying to take away Benton Harbor. Instead of just living together, that's not the way. So what you have to do is you have to kill them educationally in the school system and make sure you dummy them down, ignorant them down, to make them stupid. And what you have, you graduate stupid people who put stupid people. When a black person in Benton Harbor says not everybody is made for college, that's right, because that's what we said about you. That's how we felt about you. So any black person who says that everybody's not made out for college. That's right. That's them they're talking about, because we felt that way by every single person who says that. Make sure that when they say that, you get up in the audience and say, yep, that's how we felt about you. So because they're thinking they're better. They're thinking that house Negro, that they in the house now, that they're better than the Negro in the field. So you check those black people, and then you saw by their history over 20 years that they didn't give a damn about these students. They didn't give a damn about the children. They didn't give a damn. You had to do a national search to bring somebody who wasn't part of a friendship, a clique, a relationship, in order so our children moved a little bit ahead. We ain't moved all the way ahead, just a little bit, because we can't do it from ingrown. Ingrown has been grown wrong. The ingrown has been grown wrong. You have to make sure you get somebody outside of this system who has a track record of loving our children, loving our kids. And the thing about it is everybody in administration at the school system piss on the teachers. Everybody in administration piss on the teachers. Everybody in administration piss on the teachers. There's no support for the teachers. We have children who raise children, and we have little children who raise little children who raise little children, and our children be acting in ghetto based on the movies and the TVs and the culture that's around them, that's coming from white media, that's coming from white Hollywood, and who don't do us any good. And we sell ourselves up as black people and taking roles that make us look bad. No, we have to start respecting one another, loving one another, and know who our enemy is. Respecting one another, loving one another, and know who our enemy is. And if they're killing our babies, they're killing our babies, they're killing our babies in the hospital. OBGYN delivery floors are the most racist place on the planet. They have been killing our babies. Look at every OBGYN delivery labor room and look at how many blacks are not there. Look how many blacks are not there. And look at the number of black bodies that are leaving there. That's telling you that these nurses are racist, whether it's conscious or subconscious. That's telling you these doctors are racist, whether it's conscious or not. Or not, because it's structurally based. Racism is structurally based. Prejudice is individual based. So I'm not just talking about the individual prejudice. I'm talking about the structural racism when you can't find an equal number of black nurses on the floor. That's why we need the doula. We need a black presence to call them out when they're trying to kill our black mothers, when they're trying to kill our black babies. Look at they did Serena. We all got money. It didn't mean anything. She's still a nigga. She married a white man. She's still a nigga. And when it came down to try to kill her, they had no qualms or hesitation to do that. It took white nurses and white and black working with black nurses to go to a doctor chairman to make sure he stepped in to save her life. Raquel Walensky found out when it looked at her own white people how much subconscious hatred in the medical community. AMA hasn't done a damn thing for black people. American Medical Association hasn't done a damn thing. And now they want to use the word marginalized so they can't identify you who they owe you, because now they know who you owe. Now you know that you are owed. You owed a better life. You owe better services. You owe better care. Now they don't want to identify you who did the 300 years, the 400 years of enslavement, the Jim Crow and the Jim Crow slavery. And the segregation. They don't want that to be known anymore, so they want to use the word marginalized, like margarine. Nah, nigga, that slavery has nothing to do with that. So we can't let them marginalize us. Don't call them racist when they say that word, and that we need to make sure it's black doula, because the white doula organizations are going to try to keep the blacks out and maintain the structural racism that currently exists. That currently exists. Black death is systemic racism, conscious and subconscious. And under systemic racism is the word implicit bias. That's what they don't want to use, systemic racism. They want to use a little nice word, implicit bias. And when black people are using implicit bias, you know that's a sellout.
Yeah.
That's a nigga who don't have
Doc,
respect.
Hey, Doc, let me ask you this. You're going to have an event here, you and Ms. Moore, here in the city of Benton Harbor, in reference to a doula. I've got several questions.
Okay.
About doula, and I know that most of my brothers and sisters really, they really don't have a clue. So I want to hit on this once again, before our time run out. We got about 4 minutes. So hit on that for them. Let them, you know, let them
right.
know, because I know that you don't know what a doula do.
Yeah, what happened is, that's a good thing, doula do. So what we have to figure out, that this word doula, we got to come out and I got to think about it and research, and I'm asking Janelle to do that. What we used to, the midwives were the black women who gave the birth. And in that group, you had the ones who were actually involved in delivery and the ones that were the support. You see, so this was part of the midwife team. So, and my great-grandmother, she helped deliver babies. My great-grandfather helped deliver babies when they got in trouble. So we have to look at this way. This is part of that team that delivers the babies, but these are not the ones who actually, they help with the delivery of the baby, but they're not the ones who are on the babies, but they're helping the mother and the babies. You know, once the babies are before delivery, during delivery, and after delivery, that's what this Greek word, the doula, is. But it's really our birth team, our mama team, our delivery team that is so important. And what we're doing right now with the Pre-Shed Imhotep, this baby initiative, is every black woman, whether they're a teenager or whatever age you are, if you're pregnant, Ms. Janelle is part of the team to come in and to be your doula. So she's willing to come on the weekends and come see you if she needs to see you some other time. Y'all will work that out. But she's the one who's going to have your back. Now, you Negroes know in Benton Harbor, when you get up in that hospital, you wind up shutting up, because what happened is the white people around you tighten up and try to scare you, and you don't say a word or a peep. Well, Ms. Janelle, she don't have that problem. And she says, that epidural is not turned on. Shouldn't she be laid on her side because there's a little bit of a trouble? It seemed like the baby has some deceleration. So she is trained to look for problems and gently bring that out, because Satan never wants to be called out. So what they can do is by calling, you know, the Ben Arbor Health Center, calling Janelle, calling Keep Real Ministry, and we will connect her with Janelle. And then if it's a lot of people, then she has other doulas who can come in to Benton Harbor, and we're going to say no more deaths, no more black baby deaths, no more black babies dying, no black mothers dying. And what they're doing now, these doctors are trying to make money by having young girls do C-sections instead of delivery, because you get paid better with the C-section than you do with a delivery. So it's about making money. Like, you make $75 if you cut off a toe, but if you save the toe, you only make $14,000. You see, so money, so we're not going to be playing a game. So our program is for everyone who's pregnant right now, that we want to have your backup. We want to have your support team. We want to have that person who will scream for you when something's not going wrong. When something's going wrong, they're going to scream for you, and they're going to praise you when things are going right. And, you know, they're here for the end game, the long game. They're not just here to pop in, pop out. They're not here to do the white thing just to make a money to see and do a photo op, photo picture. No, they're here on the spot to make sure that we're going to rock this, that our children are going to start living, our mothers are going to start living, and our children are going to be able to start to excel instead of catching all the hell that they're catching.
Absolutely, Doc. That is wonderful. And I am so happy, Janelle. I tell you,
let me say this, JJ, but I didn't hear the dates. The dates in Benton Harbor are going to be the doula, the Pre-Shed Imhotep, you know, Save the Baby, Save the Mama initiative. That's going on right now. That's going on, and like I was telling you, there any woman in Detroit, I mean in Benton Harbor, that service is available for you right now. The class to get trained to be a doula, that's going to be September 15th through the 17th. September 15th through the 17th. And that's the J.J. Way model of care. So that we need you to register for, to enroll in. And you can enroll in that. I'm going to ask you to post that, Reverend Pickney, so that be able to do that, and we'll send that to you. But yeah, that's coming. And other thing, I have the governor working from the people of Benton Harbor. Not Benton Harbor. It was the Detroit Black Doulas. The Detroit Black Doulas that helped to push this on the legislative, made the governor aware of it. So it's not really the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. It's really the governor who did this. I have to give credit where credit is due. Like, I honor you, I have to honor those who did it. She's the one who picked it up, signed on it, because the bubbling black Negroes around her didn't know the value or importance of it. And sometimes we got to use Jane Elliott types to do things right. So that's why I got to make sure that's where it really started at. It was a black doula.
All right, listen, we understand, but hey, I really appreciate you and Janelle. And we're going to try to have Janelle on every Monday so she could talk about the doula, and also along with you guys. I think you guys have been quite a team. You know, two black loving people. That's what I want. Two humanitarians. You know, that's what I want to talk about. And I really, really appreciate you. But we don't have any more time. We will talk Monday, 1 o'clock. All right. See you then.